Good morning, everyone. I hope that you're feeling well this beautiful day. It is my heart's desire and prayer that we be able to get back together soon. I read how that the state of Alabama is planning on reopening in a limited way on April the 30th, and hopefully very soon after that, the church can begin meeting again, at least part of the time. I don't know what the future holds, but we'll continue going as best we can. This morning, I'd like for you to open your Bible to Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Last week, we spoke of the ascension of Jesus back to the throne room of heaven to be seated at the right hand of God. This morning, I want to talk to you about when he comes back. You will recall the words to the apostles in Acts 1:11, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Now, there are a number of important scriptures that relate to the second coming and judgment day that will immediately follow the resurrection. In John 5, verse 26 through 29, Jesus makes specific reference to this. "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, Paul writes, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, of course, our world is filled with doubters and scoffers. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at a lot of verses in this chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 right now, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.' Where is Jesus? Have you seen him? I haven't seen him, so he must not be coming back." But they're mocking and scoffing at the love of God, as well as his wrath will change nothing. And it will happen just like God said it would. Keep reading in verses 5 through 9. "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The simple passage of time is insignificant to God. A day is like a thousand years like a day. God's word and God's promises are still valid, no matter how much time has passed. And these scoffers seem to forget this. They seem to fail to understand it is God's patient love. That's the reason Jesus hasn't already come back. That's the reason Judgment Day has not already happened. God's desire is for more and more people to come to him through his Son so they can have salvation. And that, my friends, is what is holding back the wrath of God and holding back the second coming of Jesus. Now, we continue to read verses 10 through the rest of this chapter in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We look for a new home. That's what that's saying. Some people get bent out of shape about new heaven, new earth, as though this whole place is going to be rebuilt and reconstructed. It's simply saying a new home, a new place to live. That's all it's talking about. Therefore, verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. You got to be diligent. You got to stay after it, so that when he comes, you will be found in peace, without spot and blameless. And then consider that the long suffering of our God, of our Lord, is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. But you, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the errors of the wicked, but rather grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This passage is worthy of your serious study. And I want to recommend 2 Peter chapter 3, the whole chapter. It is fabulous, and I want to recommend you study it carefully. Now, Jesus is awaiting the time when his Father shall announce, it's time to go get your bride. It's time to go get your church and bring it home. Mark 13, 32, Acts 17, verse 31. Now, folks, we can't read the scriptures without understanding that there is a great day coming, the second coming of Jesus, followed by the day of judgment. And it will be a day of reckoning, a day when justice will prevail, when wrongs will be righted, when evil will be punished, and when righteousness will be rewarded, a day when we will be seen as we really are. Truth will be revealed, and every lie and falsehood will be exposed. Solomon declared, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Does that scare you a little bit? It does me. It does me. I'm telling you, I'm nervous about all this, and I'm trying to live right, but I'm nervous about the second coming and the judgment day, the end of time. A time is coming, a day is coming, when we will all stand before the throne of God, and we will be judged for how we've lived in this life. And we don't want to stand before God having practiced religion instead of following Jesus, because that won't be pretty. You see, the Bible teaches this truth. It teaches that we can assemble three times a week. We can know the truth, stand for the truth, preach the truth, defend the truth. We can be deeply involved in ministries. We can be very evangelistic. We can look good and pure and holy. But if our heart is not right, if our motives are not right, none of it matters. Nothing counts. And we will be in serious jeopardy on our judgment day. Jesus spoke of the heart in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, our praying, our giving, our fasting with improper motives will bring no heavenly reward. None. The greatest condemnation Jesus made against the Jewish leaders in Matthew 23 was, everything you do is done to be seen of men. It goes back to the heart, the wrong motive, the wrong priorities. Their religion was vain and it was useless. Now, brothers and sisters, since the heart cannot be seen, it is possible to live a lie. And that's why we're not equipped to judge others, because we can't tell what's in a person's heart. But there is one who is fully equipped to judge the hearts of all men, including mine. And when we stand before the sovereign creator of the universe, the omnipresent, omniscient, all-seeing eyes of Jesus, he will see us as we really are, and he will judge us. And on that great day, when Jesus comes and takes us before the Father's throne, how our neighbor lived, how the eldership did their job, what the preacher stood for or against, what the church down the road taught or didn't teach, what mom and dad, grandpa and Aunt Jessie considered to be truth, will not matter at all to you. Judgment will be based entirely on how you lived your life. The only things that will matter will be your relationship with the Lord, and did you live like God required? Now, what does the Bible teach us about this great day, this judgment day, the day of the second coming of Christ? First of all, it is a certainty. Down deep, we're all aware of the fact that somewhere in the future, sometime in the future, a time only known to God, there's going to come a day of judgment. Jesus speaks of this judgment in Matthew 24. In the first part, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, but then he changes to of that day, of that day. He says in Matthew 24, verses 36 to 39, it was like in the days of Noah. It will be also that way in the coming of the Son of Man, in the days before the flood. People were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They were doing this all up until the flood, up until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And that is how it's going to be at the second coming of Christ. In Acts 17, verse 31, from Mars Hill, we hear Paul declare, "For God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." God will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, simply this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." It is an appointment we all must keep. So, first of all, it is certain. And second, and most important, are we ready? Are we prepared for God's judgment? You know, without God's grace, we are most certainly not ready for Jesus to come again. We are not ready for judgment day without the grace of God. But you see, God protects his people. We can be spared from God's wrath. While God punished the world in Noah's day, he protected Noah and his family. While God punished the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, he rescued and protected Lot and his daughters. In 2 Peter 2:9, it says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." God protects his people in the midst of judgment. I have to ask you this morning, are you a child of God? Are you one of God's people? Have you been born again, born of water and the Spirit? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? After this new birth, then, we are told in Romans 6, verse 4, to walk in newness of life. And is that what you're doing? Are you walking in newness of life? What kind of newness of life? Well, it's a changed outlook on life, a changed behavior. And this new life involves being a servant. Listen to this wonderful passage in Mark 10, 43 through 45. "But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." It was Jesus who said the greatest in God's kingdom, in the church, in this church, will be the servant of all. Now, are we really ready and willing to become what Jesus was? Listen again to Peter as he tells us how to serve Jesus by serving one another. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. My friends, on the day Jesus comes, there will be no changes that you can make at that moment. Your eternal fate is sealed. And should we die before the Lord returns, our eternal fate is sealed, just as if Jesus returned at that same moment. There's nothing that will happen between death and the judgment day that will change our eternal destiny. We all realize that Jesus is coming back someday. And when he returns, he will take his people home. And judgment day will reveal our eternal destiny. And based on whether we were covered by the blood of Jesus, and if we were faithful to follow God, we can take comfort in the fact that God protects his own. And that's what God's grace is all about. We're never going to be good enough, but God is good enough. Do you have, though, my friend, anything in your life that needs correcting before judgment day, before your final day on this earth? When Jesus comes, it will be too late to change. And if he's delayed and you draw your final breath, it will be too late to change. Allow me to end this message with Paul's closing words found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? If you're not, you need to make whatever changes to get ready. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus enough to turn from sin, repent of your sins, commit your life to doing his will. Confess the sweet name of Jesus before men that you believe is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And I'll be glad to help you with that. All you got to do is let me know. Let Brother Henry know. We'll be glad to help you with that. Whatever your need, let us know. And if there's sin in your life, you need to repent of it. If you're already a child of God, but you've been guilty of sin, you've been guilty of rebellion against the Lord, you need to repent and confess to God your sins and ask God to forgive you. And if you need the prayers of the church, let that be known. We'll be glad to pray with you and for you. But whatever you need, do what you need to do to make sure you're ready for Jesus to come back today, or for your own passing today. Do what you need to. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the promise of your Son's return. Thank you for the salvation that you have offered, for your wonderful, matchless grace. Thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your long suffering, for delaying his coming again to give more people the opportunity to make their life right. Please help every one of us to be right with you, to do what's right. Forgive us of our sins. Bless our loved ones that are sick and suffering. Bless our nation and our world. Thank you so much for Jesus. Your will be done in all things. It's in his name we humbly pray. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great week. Bye-bye.